Welcome to another episode of It's a Long Road, the Ramble Series podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me today, of course, my returning and ever returning co-host, Dominic. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Ryan? How's everybody doing?
Good. I really enjoyed your Halloween costume there. Do you want to tell the fine folks? It was a couple weeks ago at this point, but what were you dressed up as there?
I utilized the fact that I'm bald this year, and I went full-on Fester Adams. Fester, right, from the Adams family. Didn't take much, just a little makeup to make me lighter in complexion.
That's right. Maybe that even less lighter, because you are Italian. Are Italians considered Caucasian? Are your people considered? I've heard so many different things about that.
I think when you get into Sicilian territory, they start saying that maybe they're a little darker. I got the half Sicilian blood, so half and half on the Italian. I got the lighter skin Italian. I got the darker skin Italian.
All right. Well, I'll keep you on the podcast. Dom, as always, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to talk all things Rambo, the Rambo series, the Rambo franchise, Sylvester Stallone, and of course, yes, Frank Stallone. We'll be coming up shortly. But before we get to the Frank Stallone segment, we have some emails. And I feel bad because Simon has sent us two emails and I forgot to read it. The one that he sent earlier on the last episode, because we record bi-weekly, it's like piled up on him or on us for him. So I've got two emails to read from Simon.
Awesome.
He's a great guy. He also listens to my Rocky series podcast. Really nice guy. And then I have another email from Doug from the Rocky Minute podcast and sometime co-host with me. Yeah, so let's do it. Yeah, let's get into her. So this one says, hi there. I recently rewatched the Rambo films. This is from Simon. After enjoying your coverage and had a few observations that I would like to share. So, of course, Dom, feel free to share your thoughts on what he has to say afterwards. Mm-hmm. One thing that stood out to me in the later two films, and which I really missed, was the cross-cutting between Troutman engaging in verbal battles with authority figures, while Rambo had his physical battles. Since Rambo speaks very little, and in the fourth installment, there is minimal dialogue exchange between the missionaries and other characters. And we talked about it, of course, on our season four coverage of Rambo and the Missionary Boat. It's just looking. It's like the easiest acting career of Sly's career.
Exactly.
I'll just look around at everybody.
Just flexing his arms while he paddles the boat, basically.
So he goes on to say there's minimal dialogue exchange between the missionaries and other characters, which isn't as well written as in the first two films. It became significantly noticeable to me compared to the 80s films. This is why Rambo 4 is my least favorite, as it lacks that quality dramatic conflict in the writing. I truly miss the drama of Teasel and Troutman, or Troutman and Murdoch, or even the Russian in part 3. We never touched on that in all of our episodes. We never touched on Troutman's kind of verbal battles, the government battles, or his own personal battles dealing with Rambo and these other authority figures, that the balancing out that Troutman has a character, right? That's a great point. I think it is heavily missed in those fourth and fifth films.
I think so. I think you feel his presence isn't there. That's one thing. I love those other two for what they are, but you feel it because he's always having that back and forth with people, almost hyping Rambo up. You need a hell of a lot of body bags and all that stuff. You miss that.
Absolutely. So he goes on to say here, in the first three films, talented actors deliver well-written dramatic dialogue, and while Stallone focuses on the physical acting, part four didn't have anything quite like that, which is probably why he doesn't mind part five as much, because there's a bit more dialogue and the interaction with the lady reporter and Rambo, which we're going to get to in today's episode. It still stands out compared to the three first films, but it felt a bit more like a Rambo to me than the fourth entry, which is somewhat lacking in depth and substance outside of the excessive violence. They never found a suitable replacement for Troutman to serve as Rambo's moral compass or center of conscience, which maybe explains why Rambo's so crazy in the fourth. Additionally, the first three films had cheesy songs during the end credits, while the fourth and fifth installments don't. Don't forget, in the fourth installment, we had the forever false ending of Rambo overlooking the carnage that never ended. Remember that? He's overlooking and...
Those movies, as we've said, like, they get into a different territory of like realism, the last two. Whereas three is obviously, there's some realism in there, but it's also the kind of superhero 80s approach, where we've talked about the opening of four, where it just... It gets to the real world stuff very hard. So I don't think there was a place for the cheesy.
Yeah, I wonder what cheesy song. Maybe we should make that an assignment for our listeners. Dear listeners, go out there, scour the internet, and let us know what songs you think should have edited the fourth and fifth films. So he goes on to say, thank you for all your content. I'm looking forward to the next episode, which he does message us about right now. So he goes on to say, hi, Ryan and Dom. I wanted to express my gratitude for all the fantastic content you provide. Thanks. That's very kind.
Humble.
I thoroughly enjoyed episode 6. I think that was our last one because we're doing episode 7 right now. Particularly as the segment you covered is, oddly enough, my least favorite part of the film. See, that's what Dom and I do. We take this crap and we make it enjoyable to go over, to listen, to explore.
We get a deep dive in there.
That's right. As you pointed out, it feels like Rambo is somewhat out of character during this section. His lack of stealth and the way he stumbles into the situation seems a bit hokey. Just envision him sneaking around at 3 a.m., catching people off guard while they're half asleep or conducting some silent reconnaissance. That would have been more intriguing. The fact that a random gringo was caught with a knife and a pistol in a sketchy part of Mexico by those guys probably wouldn't raise many eyebrows. I'm sure they've encountered worse. Rambo doesn't do much to arouse suspicion. Actually, we said that in the episode. Like, why are they so keen on this old, big,
lumbering
guy walking around? He may be looking for sex trade himself, but they were like, no, this is an enemy. This is someone we need to kick the crap out of. Like, because they gather their whole cartel.
Basically, the whole cartel goes after him at that point. Yeah.
I appreciate the darker notion that Rambo's appearance becomes a reason for Gabrielle to be more exposed, creating a source of conflict for Rambo and a motive for the villains to target her. However, what really doesn't sit well with me is the dialogue and the exaggerated, unbelievable characters, even by Rambo standards. It almost borders on being cartoonish. When Victor and Hugo talk about they mean nothing and are just animals to Rambo regarding their captives, it comes across as cheesy. It's the same type of dialogue the woman in the tunnel uses. I'm no expert, but I would have expected more manipulation, control, drugging, or blackmail between the captors and the girls, similar to Harvey Keitel and Taxi Driver, for instance. I do like how they used that tactic to Rambo. We're going to keep you alive so you can be punished, knowing that Gabrielle is going to be more abused because of your trying to get her out. However, I think in this next scenes that we're going to see in today's coverage, when we eventually get to it after the Frank Stallone segment, I think we are going to see some of the drugs that are put into the girls and things like that. So that I understand the need to create detestable villains, but without any semblance of intelligence or a vaguely realistic portrayal of their world, it takes me out of the film. Their behavior seems more fitting for a lone serial killer than a would-be businessman. Yeah, we mentioned that too, that this seems like an odd business practice. Do you think it's supposed to be like a whorehouse, but all these girls are just kidnapped girls? They're all kidnapped.
And they're beating them down too. Like, how much money is in that? Like, the quality of girls, right?
Even the police aimlessly running around the tunnels with the take what you like attitude comes off as goofy. The structure in Liam Neeson's film Taken was more convincing. But yeah, obviously that's a better written film. We get
right. This definitely had a lot of Taken inspiration.
First, I guess
Taken. I'm pretty sure it's Taken.
Yeah, good point. But yeah, sex traffic films have existed even before Taken, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
He goes on to say, if the coked up character were portrayed as a wild maverick, while the other character was more composed and subtly manipulative, it would have added a more intriguing dynamic. Instead, it felt somewhat lackluster, even though I generally like Rambo 5. And not necessarily Stallone's finest writing for this middle section of the film. Once again, thank you for all your content. And I wish you all the best. Best regards, Simon. So thanks, Simon. That's a great insight.
Thank you, Simon.
Yeah, often I always find that people that email the shows are better spoken than we are. But we're the ones on the mic, I guess. It takes more than you think, guys. I know everyone thinks they can podcast.
It takes a lot out of you talking about Frank Stallone.
Yeah, I think I might have aged a few years since we talked about Frank. Oh, boy. All right. One last email. This, again, is from Doug. He is the host of the Rocky Minute podcast, which is also a podcast on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, which this podcast you listen to is also featured on. If you're listening to the standalone feed, go check out the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network. All right. So he says here, Doug, he goes, Ryan, stop begging for emails. It's not a good look. Wow. He goes, I'm kidding, of course. I know, Doug. I know. I love the job you guys are doing with Rambo, but enough of that boring shit. Your Frank Stallone coverage is the greatest thing on the internet right now. That is a hugely bold statement. This segment might not be as exciting. I got to tell you, this one was, Frank was dull this week, but we'll see. That dude is a train wreck, and I love you. That's right. Sorry. That dude is a train wreck, and I love hearing you rip him to shreds every episode. Oof. In some way or another, it has to continue after your ramble coverage is over. The fans demand it. No, he's not the only one who's saying this. It's I sent you a message, and I said, people are saying this, Dom, and I don't know what to do. What do we do here? Like, seriously.
I don't know. As I've said before, I don't know how it got to this point. It was a throwaway segment. I remember you were a little reluctant, right?
We're on episode 13 of the Frank Stallone coverage.
And it really does outweigh the Rambo podcast. Like, at this point, we could just change it to It's a Long Road, the Frank Stallone series podcast.
Oh, you know, man, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It was Doug off his rocker. What do we do? Let us know in the comments on YouTube.
Have to take a vote
on our channel.
It's going to have to be a kind of a vote, like an election kind of thing, where we just see.
Now, Doug, as you probably know or don't know, Dom, our listeners, Doug is actually a professional. We mentioned this before. He's a gym rat. He actually works at a gym. He's one of the employees there, and he's a cop by trade, but at night, he's a gym guy, and very well, in good shape, very handsome. He's more handsome than you and I put together, Dom.
Friends with Alex, the trainer?
Well, I don't think so. We'll get to that. He's got big guns. We call him Big Gun Doug for a reason. But anyways, he says here that every week, so keep that in mind, that he's a professional workout guy, okay? He says, every week, I've been taking Frank's workout tips to the gym with me. And somehow I've gotten weaker and fatter. Oh, that's...
What about his boxing tips, Doug?
Oh, good call, Doug. Come on. So apparently the workout tips aren't working for Doug, but maybe the boxing tips will.
I think the boxing tips will. They make sense.
He goes, love you guys. I can't wait for more. P.S. Dom, you have to work in Ramble's rape line in as often as possible.
As if I haven't worked it in enough.
I know.
Anytime there's a number mentioned, that's it. It just goes into this.
Oh, man. We'll see if it happens this episode. It has to be natural. Okay. Right. All right. Thanks. If you want to send us an email, check out the show notes to see the email address. Okay. Before we get to the Frank segment, we've got one more thing here. Dom, have you watched I'm halfway through it, but have you watched the Sly documentary yet?
I did. I did watch it, actually, Friday night. I knew it popped up, and I came home. I had nothing to do, and I said, you know what? Let me knock this bad boy out. So I did watch it.
Okay, we don't want to spend too much time on it because I know people are excited for our Frank segment, and maybe some people are looking forward to our Ramble coverage. What's your thoughts overall?
I liked it overall. I'm comparing it now to the recent Arnold one because that was like a three-part, three-hour one. I felt like some of the stuff was glossed over, but I did enjoy, there were some new revelations about his father that I didn't know with their relationship. Frank pops up and talks about some stuff in there, which I thought was interesting. But overall, I did like it.
I got a message here from a good friend of the show, and I have yet to meet him in real life. One day, hopefully I will do. I went to Hope, British Columbia. I mentioned that one of the episodes. I went to Hope, British Columbia, where First Blood was filmed. And Brian McKinney, he runs the home of Ramble there, the tourism for the Ramble site. And he does a great job there, and he's a great member of the community of Hope. And not only that, great guy, and also a huge fan of First Blood. And when I went to Hope, he was on vacation. Like the one time I go to Hope.
I remember you saying
that. Yeah, he happens to be on vacation in Italy or something. So he was very nice just to send me his thoughts in the documentary. He said, now remember, he's a huge Sly fan. So he knows what we know. Like in the sense that we know there's more to Sly's life than what we're being told. He said, I watched the Sly documentary last night. Barf face. Handcrafted by Stallone, obviously to protect his ego. Wasn't raw at all. All of it was about a filmography of two franchises and a bunch of people being interviewed telling the world how good he is. And what was with Frank acting somewhat normal in it? Was he on meds? But if you catch other critically acclaimed biographies or on other personalities, they are a lot more gritty and personal. All this one did was mention how much of a dick his dad was, and that was it. Is that wrong? What are your thoughts?
I definitely feel like they played it safe. We know how Stallone is. He's definitely a little bit egocentric. Sure. I think there's a longer cut of that somewhere that is like maybe because even you probably saw Tarantino talking about some stuff in there. There's definitely some stuff they go into that maybe Stallone was like, I don't want to do it. I could see him being like that.
This just in from Louise. He goes, I got my picket signs ready and I'm going to strike unless we get more Frank Stallone segments. Oh, wow.
That'll be the second biggest strike going on, right? It'll be the SAG strike, and then it'll be the Frank Stallone strike.
We need more coverage of Frank. I do want to comment really quickly on Brian's thoughts. I'd like to hear other people's thoughts too, if they want to share their thoughts via email or what have you. And we can discuss this documentary over the episodes to come. We're not going to do a full review, Absolutely. But I'm happy to discuss points from it. Mm. So I watched it with my wife, and for her to watch it with me, I get why she's really enjoying it too. Like, she's enjoying it. She's seeing things, and it's very easy for her to watch. If you're reading between lines, he mentions that during the early 80s and stuff, he lost focus of his family. He mentions that very briefly, i.e. he gets divorced from Sasha. Right. But he doesn't say divorce. He doesn't mention Sasha's name. But the one reveal that was probably the biggest reveal that I'm surprised that Sly allowed in the first half of the film anyways is when he got slammed by reviewers for his Paradise Alley and for his fist performances in films,
right,
that he actually wanted to fight critics in the alley.
right.
So I actually never heard that before, and that was from his own words, and they kept it in the documentary.
Tarantino mentioned that as well.
Yeah, Tarantino mentioned it as well. Yeah. So I appreciate that they at least showed that he had that temper. He was in his 30s. By his own admission, he had that ego. So we're seeing a humbler, older Sly, I know, as he's looking back. So I do appreciate they showed that. Yeah, the dad being as abusive as he was, it was heartbreaking. I admit to see Sly choke up a little bit, talking about being abused by his dad. We will never get the proper Sly biography. We got it from Arnold. We get it from other actors and other celebrities. We've had these definitive biographies on celebrities. And for whatever reason, Sly's life is this oddly shrouded in secrecy kind of life, with his marriages, his autistic kid, his son who died of heart failure slash who had drug problems, lived in his dad's shadow. There's some great drama. And not to say dirty laundry is not the right word, but I know there's a lot of Sly protectors out there. I won't say any names, but there's people out there, literally, you can't say anything bad about Sly. So they will even get mad at me for saying that. How dare you want Sly to talk about? Yeah, but, but here's the thing. When you're a celebrity, that's part of your journey, is the shit you've been through, right?
I agree. And I feel like it's prominent in that documentary, right when they're tiptoeing around certain things, especially the death of his son. They just steer away from it. You don't really see his real feelings on it either. There's a point when they do talk about him and they're talking about Rocky V, and then it just goes in a different direction. Whereas you want to get into that, you want to see how he feels.
Can you imagine if Sly said,
I got to tell you, man, Sage died. It took a piece of me.
Right.
Jennifer really pulled me out of this. And my daughters today remind me what family support. And my autistic son, who I take care of every day. Right. I know I keep him out of the public eye. And people wonder why he's out of the public eye. But I promise you, I take care of him. And Sasha's great with him. And nothing.
They don't. And it's very safe.
That took me 30 seconds. And don't you think fans would be like, oh cool, he's acknowledging that he actually has a biological son out there?
And that's what it is too with the Arnold one. He got into his whole legitimate kid towards the end. He gets into all that stuff that happened with the nanny. He talks about it. He doesn't shy away from it. He says, I made a mistake, and he owns up to it. I commend that. And there really wasn't that with the Stallone one. It wasn't that moment.
So I have one last theory. I think I could be wrong, but I think part of the reason why we may never get the full story on Sly, and I love him. I love him as an actor. I love him as a creator. He's given me a lot of fun in my life. I get it. And he's also just human. He is not God. He's not the Pope. I don't know how many of the stories he tells are true. And I think part of the problem is he has created his own narrative about his own life. That's a story of itself. So what is biography and what are Sly tales?
Exactly.
It's like Sly quoting Sly. You know what I mean by that?
After a while, it becomes the truth, too, in his head, I'm sure, like how it happened and how things played out. I would have liked to see, too, not that you have to delve into it, his marriage to Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah.
That's never even mentioned. That's a problem, too, thinking back on it now. Like, there's no real structure to the documentary. It jumps around. It starts from his early days, but then it smudges over a lot in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
So we'll see. I don't know if there's an unauthorized biography we'll ever get. And unauthorized doesn't mean they're not true. Now, keep that in mind. I read one on Tom Cruise. It was really well done. And there's just the investigative journalist that did this biography on Tom Cruise. It's not like a smear campaign. That's the thing. The reason why it's unauthorized is because the guy goes into the weeds that an authorized biography wouldn't.
Yeah, you got to let me know the name of that one.
Yeah. So Donald brings up a good point here. Sly inspires so many people. The dark parts of his life would only make him more inspiring. I agree.
I think so.
Like, mm-hmm. just say, yeah, I had some rough marriages. Yeah, I lost my son, but I overcame it through this. And I'm now remarried and I found true love. And I've learned from my past mistakes and I'm better for those mistakes. But the only mistakes he ever mentions is a bad screenplay.
Right. Right. And bad reviews, bad box office, but that's about it.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I don't know. Are we going to get to the Ramble film today, folks? I don't know. We'll
probably not.
I've said it before. Maybe I'm partly subconsciously trying to drag out this last season of the Ramble franchise. Because
it ain't over till it's over.
All right. You ready? Here we go.
In economic news, unemployment figures rose slightly for the month of October, with declines in the Dow Jones and NASDAQ. The reason for the sudden downturn? You guessed it. Frank Stallone.
And here's another segment of Frank Stallone. Who is this guy?
Okay, so as we know, Frank is a world-renowned guitarist. He sells guitars. We'll get to that.
I can't even knock it. He's probably I play a little guitar, and he's definitely better than me, Frank.
Hey, I'll give him that. Sure, but you both have the same amount of real hair on your head. Let's be honest with that. Okay, so fair enough. He's a better guitar player than me, but here's the difference. I don't claim to play the guitar. Right. I also don't make a living off playing the guitar. And then I don't post things online to show you my abilities to play the guitar. Now, in this video clip that I put together, he is covering the Marvin Gaye song.
What's going on?
Right? What's going on? I, of course, researched the meaning of that Marvin Gaye song. It's about environmental issues.
Mm.
Okay. So I think it was 1978 or something like that, or 60s right. or 70s. And it's about the world and its environment. And if you actually bring up the lyrics...
not a fun fact, but Marvin Gaye was actually murdered by his father.
Oh, really?
Yeah, murdered by his own father. Sorry, I had to bring down the podcast.
No, that's legit. But that's what Sly's dad wanted to do.
That's why it came to me, because I was thinking about Sly and his dad. And I was like, well, at least he didn't murder him. At least he didn't murder him.
What's going on? And this is what Frank wrote on his Instagram before he covers the song. Now, he covers the whole song. I'm not playing the whole song. I just got some tidbits.
Thank you for that much.
You're welcome. If you want to see Frank's full performance of the cover, go check out his Instagram. But not only does he cover the song, he adds his own lyrics at the end.
Okay. I didn't even catch
that. So this is what he had to say about the song. He goes, what's going on? So he asks the question. And says, what's going on? Has the world gone mad? Is human life just become a commodity? Save the children and mothers and fathers. Peace, save us. The reason why I ask what's going on, it's the typical Frank that today's world is, you know, it's nothing compared to what it used to be, right?
Right, of course.
Even though the song was 50 years old, so things couldn't have been that great back then because Marvin wrote this 50 years ago.
Wasted on the ocean and the sea. Science, brother, what's going on? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. What's going on? What's going on? People tell me what's
So what do you think of the guitar strumming so far?
I honestly, I think I'll say that his guitar is better than his vocals. I'll say that much. Oh, but it's not great.
And now here's the ad lib, a little bit commentary at the end here. This is just where he throws in, you know, he's making this political. He's making this recent. He's updating Marvin Gaye and saying this. Now, I could be wrong. I can't find the lyrics anywhere where it talks about this sort of stuff.
People killing everyone.
I know he in the beginning he says, like, you know, there's too many of us dying, brother, brother, but I don't think he gets
I'm having a hard time with the lyrics because he mentions radiation. That being said, I can't find the lyrics. I could be wrong. But I love that line. Hey, you know, if Marvin Gaye didn't write that line, it's very Marvin Gaye-esque to say people killing everyone. I mean, that should literally be the headline of CNN News. It's just to say people killing everyone.
The Frank Stallone version. People killing everyone.
Find some peace into this world. What's going on? Save the children,
Dom. Okay. Wow, beautiful.
Absolutely.
People killing everyone. What's going on? Save the children. Hashtag Frank Stallone. Next, we've got Frank outside, of course. And I've had to boost all the audios on his outside stuff. So I'm kind of doing him a favor here. So he's wearing a snow cap, of course. So I love how it's cold enough to wear a snow cap, or in Canada, we call it a toque. But it's warm enough that he can wear a sleeveless shirt. Yeah.
And got to show the guns off, Ryan. Come on. You know
that's
that.
That's true.
Monday, everybody. Frank Stallone, yours truly. A few weeks ago, we were talking about boxing moves. Remember everything in boxing. Here. Whap. Everything works off the jab. If you don't have a good jab, forget it.
Okay, so pretend right now, Dom, just pretend for a moment, you are an up-and-coming boxer. You're 19 years old. You want to go professional. And Frank Stallone is your trainer. Here is all you need to know to become champion of the world.
I'm taking notes. Following him into the gates of hell.
So remember, this is all you need for boxing now.
Everything works off the jab. You can hook off the jab. You can go to the body under the jab. Whap, bang, short. Watch fighters like Paul Spadafora. Classic boxer. Moves, doesn't get hit with shots. The idea is not to get hit.
I have figured it out. The idea to be a good boxer, which I don't think anybody else knows, is to not get hit.
How have we not figured this out? So, Dom, I got some rules for you, okay? You want to do everything off the jab, okay? You follow me?
Right.
Key thing here, do not get hit.
Why didn't I realize that sooner? To not get hit.
The idea is to keep your hands up, move. Watch him on YouTube. Watch how he works with these guys. The more you get hit, the shorter career you have.
Nobody told this to Muhammad Ali, by the way. If he would have known.
Muhammad Ali has never been hit in his life. Never get hit, Muhammad Ali. Never get hit.
I just love how Frank, yet again, for no reason at all, starts going into boxing tips. I think this is really the indicator. I mean, there's a lot of indicators that he's maybe losing it a little bit because he just out of nowhere goes into boxing tips.
90% of his fans on Instagram are 70-year-old widows and above. Like, it's like, who's taking this?
That's the thing. Is anybody commenting saying like more boxing tips, Frank? We need more.
Well, some of the comments are people saying right here, thank you. Frank, you're an amazing man. Thanks for the lesson on the jab. This is from a lady named Melissa who looks like she's 65. Okay, like
Melissa's going to go and get into boxing now, 78 years old.
You know what I'm saying? So remember, there's only so many punches in boxing. Straight left, straight right, left hook to the body, right hook to the body, left uppercut, right uppercut.
I get it. There's only so many punches you can do with an arm. Like, you just punch up, down, middle.
That's all you need to do, Ryan.
This can't be all there is to boxing. This can't be it. Don't get hit.
We need to find a boxing trainer to comment on these.
I know.
So what do you got? Like 6-8 punches. Sometimes you can do this. You can work off the jab. Some guys do. And they'll hook off the jab. But you got to be good for that. And this rolling stuff, you got to be fast.
Could you imagine? I just saw a car pulling into that parking lot. Could you imagine you going to the gym and you see Frank Stallone filming like a boxing video as you go?
I guarantee the person pulling into the parking spot probably rolled their eyes. It's like, oh, Frank, is he coming to the gym or is he leaving? He's going to wait to see if Frank's going inside the gym or.
He's not going in if he's going in.
Yeah, that's right. I'll wait.
Soon would do that. He'd sit there, he'd roll and then fire back. But you got to be really fast to that and technically really sound. But watch really. Classic boxers, Leonard, Benitez, they stand, they keep their hands there. They watch what they're doing. They're not just, and they're pivoting. They're always moving. Because remember, it's a game of distance.
Well, yeah, if I'm 100 feet away, you ain't never hit me.
Watch the fast boxers, Leonard, Benitez, Frank Stallone. Watch the good boxers, and you'll know.
It's like everything and nothing at the same time.
Yeah, but I think this is like a Mr. Miyagi approach, Ryan. I think if you watch this enough, you become a good boxer. If you do these movements enough, you got to go into gym parking lots and you got to right there. It's not there, Ryan. Remember, it's there.
It's here.
Who was saying the last
here,
time.
Here, here, it's here. Not here. 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 Not here. Here.
You know, when people have, you can see, I used to box this guy. He was right in front of me. I throw a punch, whip, whip, slip. It's illusion.
That's my favorite.
What is he saying? He was right in front of me. I punched and he dodged. Was he dodging Frank's punches?
No, I think Frank was dodging his punches.
What's the illusion?
The illusion is being as fast as Frank was, probably. Frank's like a magician when he's in that ring, I think is what he's saying.
He can't be serious. I don't know. I don't understand.
And that's how you do it. And you've got to do road work. You have to be in shape. You'll see what happened when Tyson Fury fights the MMA guy. MMA guy has power, but it's not called power. It's called boxing. But he.
What? I don't understand. He mentioned being in shape, but Tyson Fury, bless his heart, he's not the most in shape looking guy. The MMA fighter is truly in shape, mm-hmm. but it's two different disciplines. Grats to, I don't know how to say his name very well, Ngannou or something. I forget how to say his name. The MMA fighter that fought Tyson Fury. He knocked down Tyson Fury. But he's an MMA fighter. You put Tyson Fury in the octagon with him mm-hmm. as an MMA fighter. Guess who's losing that fight?
Right.
You know, Tyson.
Open wide. Tyson just sit there and pump that left hand in his face, hit him with a right hand. Good night, Irene.
No, that didn't happen. So he was talking about this before that fight. It actually went the distance. It was a
special. Oh, this was before it? Oh,
yeah. Because okay. He's calling Tyson Fury. He's going to knock that guy on his butt.
Good night, Irene.
Good night, Irene.
Our prayers out to all the people in Israel, all the women, children, men.
Great
keep
segue.
Up a good fight, baby.
Dom, do you want to quickly check the news? Has the war ended in Israel?
Well, no. Frank Stallone's got to do a couple more videos for this war to end, Ryan.
I think that's his only prayer in this whole montage of videos today.
He went right from the boxing tips. Like, he didn't even finish the sentence about the boxing tips, and he was just like, pray for Israel.
Yeah, so right. The war's still going. So, Frank, keep those prayers going, brother. Keep them going. Now we're going to get some advertisement for Frank Stallone Guitars. Here we go.
Here we go.
We have a new guitar out called The Stallion and The Stallion Copperhead. Our car guitars are made 100% in America. I said cars. I wish I could find a car 100% made in America.
Are there no cars made in America? Is that a myth? Is that Frank just...
That's a Frank's logic. I believe that these Frank Stallone guitars, they all tend to be named after... something Sylvester Stallone related, because this one's a stallion.
I think at one point there was a
tiger at one point he had too. By the tiger.
So he's hawking his guitars. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the Stallion on his website. We're gonna go to his website just after this, but I want to hear what he has to say about them.
But ours are made 100% in America. They're fantastic. They're light and weight. They've got power. They've got tone.
They have power and tone. I'm not a guitar player, but I really hope my electric guitar will turn on. And I really hope there's a tone. That's two things I look for in an electric guitar. What about you? Tone?
Yeah, I need it to plug in.
And thank God it wasn't made in China. Can't have that noise.
Good luck finding another guitar made in America, Ryan.
I guarantee you it might have been assembled in America, but all the parts came from China.
Definitely. 100%. Definitely outsourced.
FrankStalloneGuitars.com. Gary@FrankStalloneGuitars.com. We've been selling them. They're moving pretty quick now. They're marginally priced, right? Not going to break the bank.
The way he says they're selling and, you know, they're moving. We're moving them out. You know, goodbye. Okay, so I've been watching this for the last 2 weeks to see how they're selling on his website.
You've been keeping a close eye.
Bear with me here. I'm going to show you his website right now. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you get to see the website. Okay, so this is a beautiful website.
Very early internet.
Yeah, so he's got two different styles here. You've got the Stallion Copperhead mm-hmm. and the Stallion Metallic Red. Both go for $2,700.
Wow.
They're selling fast, okay? So I go over here. Look how many left. Only three left. Okay. Now I got a feeling, call me crazy. I got a feeling there was only three. Now, you know why I have that feeling? Because if you go to the other color, the Stallion Metallic Red, guess how many are left? Just guess.
Three.
Three left. Now, what are the odds that both colors only have three left for the last 2 weeks? What are the odds?
Well, it sounds like something very suspicious about this, Ryan.
Okay, so
that's not a great price point, though, I don't think.
what? I'm not a guitar guy, but $2,700 US. Here's the question. Who is truly buying a Frank Stallone guitar? It has his initial Frank there, the F on his guitar. Let's say you're part of a garage band, right? And you're going to this, you're going to the garage and you're like, okay, guys, let's play. And they go, oh, dude, you bought a new guitar. And they're like, oh, what guitar is this? And you would have the balls.
Right.
The actual balls to say, this is a Frank Stallone guitar.
That's what my problem is with it. Like, you know, Fender is a famous guitar company, and you could get an $800 Fender that is a great guitar. So why would you spend $2,700 on a Frank Stallone guitar?
Hey, look, we're helping plug Frank Stallone guitars. So every episode, do you want to check to see how many are left?
I want to check.
Okay.
There's going to be four left next week. I know it.
Solid. They're lightweight. They're great. And just keep picking, baby.
Yeah, he said instead of keep punching, he said keep picking. You get it? You get it?
I like it. I get it. I think I get it.
Good morning, Franksterites.
What did he call us?
Franksterites. We're in his cult now. Franksterites.
We're part of it. I think we watch his videos more than anyone else.
We enable this. We enable this behavior, Ryan. I just want you to know that.
We're Franksterites. Okay, we're Franksterites. Okay, Dom, here we go.
We just got done working out today. It was great. We did legs and we did shoulders. Real light, you know, because I have some shoulder issues. You don't have to go. We do these laterals. You don't have to go heavy. You want to get it so you can really get it and not like this and this and this and this. You know, that's why these guys end up with shoulder props. Should be.
Doesn't he have shoulder props?
Yeah, sorry. We both had the same thought. Yeah, he just mentions he has bad shoulders. So, well, he's, you know, to be fair, he's teaching from his mistakes. He's telling you, look, I've got shoulder problems. If you don't want to have shoulder problems like me, that's right. Do it properly.
Smooth. If it comes to a point where you really can't get it up there, then maybe just bring it up to here. But don't go too heavy. I go tops, 20 pounds. Where when I was younger, I'd do 35, 40. And you'll need it, because if you're going like this, you're not getting the benefit. You just want to get it up straight.
Here's the thing, and this is no offense to our lovely friend Doug. You don't need it ever. Like, what are we doing? Why am I lifting weights like that to have my arms go? Like, why am I doing that? I'm 48 years old. I've never done it. I'm okay. I've lived a pretty good life. I haven't had to lift trucks over my head anytime. You know, like, it's just, I know it's a thing. I know bodybuilding's a thing. Like, who is he? Again, who is he talking to?
Well, obviously, people that want to get into bodybuilding, just like he was talking to people that want to get into boxing. He's a Renaissance man, Frank. Okay. Right. He's telling everybody what to do.
And, you know, but other than I'm feeling really good, you know, just watching my beard grow like Rumpelstiltskin.
He's doing pretty good. He tapped his leg when he said that. I'm not sure why, but he said, I'm watching my beard grow like Rumpelstiltskin. Okay. I would say something like ZZ Top or something.
But right. I don't even remember Rumpelstiltskin having a beard, to be honest.
I Googled it, and depending on the... he can and he can't. He's not known for the beard. Like,
so he's not like Santa Claus, right?
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Better. Yeah, I'm growing my beard like Santa Claus. There's never a beardless Santa Claus. You're right. But he picks Rumpelstiltskin. So I actually had to Google the character. Does he have a beard? And it just, it's irrelevant. Basically, it's irrelevant whether he has a beard or not. Gandalf would have been a good choice.
Right.
Of course, Rumpelstiltskin. Sure.
He's got the good references that everybody knows, Rumpelstiltskin.
Anyway, everyone, have a blessed day. Hi, it's Dr. Stallone. And
okay, is he actually losing it a little bit? Is this old man syndrome?
I think so, honestly. This is like when you have a conversation with one of your older uncles that's not all there. Those are the vibes I get from Frank.
Because again, folks, he's wearing, and he hasn't got them properly monogrammed yet, his scrubs, his doctor scrubs that he's wearing, that somebody gifted him. Whoever gifted these to him, please, we need to shoot him. They say Dr. Stallone on them. They don't say it's Dr. Frank Stallone yet, or Junior. But anyways.
And he's got the pants on too, right?
He's wearing the full scrubs in a parking lot.
That's honestly alarming that he goes to the gym like that. That's like very unsettling that he's wearing doctor scrubs.
But this is a very exciting, guys. We've got a hint here. This is how I was able to track down this individual. And this, okay, well, let's see who he talks about here. Here we go, folks.
In front of the magnificent vehicle of the trainer, Alex. This is just his day car. He's got a Rolls Royce at night.
He's pumping up Alex. He's saying, Alex, my trainer. And he goes by the way, the trainer Alex. That is his title. Not Alex the trainer. The trainer Alex. That's his company. That's his name. And that's how you find him, folks. Yes, we found him on Instagram. We're going to show you some videos later. The trainer, Alex. Now, I love how he says he shows the company car there that Alex drives, but his nighttime car is a Rolls Royce. Is that what he said? Rolls Royce?
Yeah, Rolls Royce.
Sure. Okay. Oh, we got some information here from Donald in our chat. This just in. In 2021, the average price for guitar was $606. So a Frank Stallone guitar, he said it wouldn't break your bank, is actually almost 4.5 times the price of your average guitar price.
Yeah. Like, you could get guitars that are in that price range, but anybody would probably go with a brand name that's been around forever, not like a Frank Stallone $3,000.
Can you do us a favor? Can you just Google a Les Paul guitar, electric guitar?
Les Paul guitar, yeah. Probably like $800 for a starter guitar.
I'm curious. Okay, let's continue here. He's talking about Alex the Trainer, or the Trainer Alex.
Anyway, we did a real light day today. We did chest, and then we did cardio, because I really got to start building my cardio.
Did we mention his cardio in one of our last videos? Dom and I, of course, we talk offline, and we're like, does Frank watch the videos? I don't know. Sometimes we feel like there's a little response to things that the hair. Remember, he's mentioned the hair.
Yes.
That we mentioned he was a little bit winded in one of his videos.
Right.
His boxing stances, he got winded. Now he's mentioned cardio, and now he's plugging Alex, as we mentioned in previous videos.
The Alex the Trainer thing is like, that's weird, because we literally said like he doesn't even plug this guy, give any information, that he did like a week later.
So it's a combination. Either we're just on the same wavelength as Frank, where he's like, oh, I better plug Alex because I don't do that, or someone's getting our videos to him. But I think if we are, I think Frank is maybe, I would say, smart enough and to not say that this is happening.
Right. I agree.
I've noticed his videos are changing a little bit since we started covering him. There's been it's harder to make fun of him. And I think
they've been a little bit more quiet, right?
Yes, they're quieter. They're not as
he doesn't
zany.
Go next to guys doing construction quite so much anymore.
Yes, he finds quieter areas now. I don't know. I'm not saying it's us, but hey, if we're making Frank's videos better, that's great.
Because of their stuff. So I was at a 15 incline, which is hard, and you breathe heavier. You can't go probably as long, but I'm just trying to push my lungs to strengthen them up. And other than that, everything's good. You know, everything's coming back.
Why is everything coming back? Remember when his voice was coming back for like 5 weeks?
When he was like very ill for that couple of weeks.
But what else is coming back? Is he growing things that we're not aware of?
He's always got some other...
He's wearing the hand wrist. Did he shoot the shotgun earlier?
Maybe.
It must be Monday. Oh, it's Monday. Because he shoots on Sundays, right? There you go. He shoots on Sundays, so he's wearing the wristband thing.
I don't want to take away his enjoyment from shooting the gun, but Frank, if you need to wear something on your hand the next day, I think you need to stop shooting the guns. Just my personal opinion.
Wearing my, you know, Dr. Scrubs today. That's my name, Dr. Scrubs. But anyway.
That should be his name, Dr. Scrubs. Okay. That doesn't make sense. That's just the outfit that doctors wear. But why is that funny? I don't know. Dr. Scrubs. Okay.
Had a great day. Keep safe. Thank God every day you're above ground.
He's really obsessed with not dying, eh? Have you noticed that?
He's winning. If he's alive, he's winning. That's it.
Donald said, regarding we're making Frank's videos better. It's harder to make fun of them. He said, it's harder, but you still find a way. Well, thank you.
Be nice to people and may the good Lord take a liking to you. Okay.
All right. Don, we got to be nicer. Well, I'm sorry. We got to be nicer.
I know.
It's U-Boat Frank. A U-Boat watch. It's one of the larger watches.
U-Boat? I didn't catch that. Is it a U-Boat watch?
I never heard of the brand. I'm not familiar with that.
I just wear it. It's kind of 90s, but why not? We had a good workout today. We did arms. We did triceps. It's really...
Are the triceps not part of the arms?
We did arms. We did triceps.
I did a workout today with my body. My body was involved. It's always the same thing. Arms, legs.
Good workout.
Sure. Yeah, good workout. It's all you have to do.
Easy curl bench with the straight bar. Gets you a little thicker. Easy curl bar is better standing up, but you can't ever underestimate.
A guy walks behind Frank. Buddy who's walking doesn't move out of Frank's way. Frank has to move out of his way. And Frank's a little put off, like, wait a minute, I'm Frank Sloan here. I'm not moving for you. Did you catch that?
Yeah, that guy was like, fuck this. I'm walking right through his filming.
Yeah.
He didn't give a shit.
He didn't walk behind Alex. He walked behind Frank. I love it. Let's just go back just a little bit just to catch that. It's a bit of a power move. I love it. I want to get that guy's number. Power move.
Easy crowbar is better standing up, but you can't ever underestimate dumbbells and bars.
I love it. Frank sees him coming out of his peripheral, turns to his right, sees this guy is not changing direction, has to step forward for the buddy to move, and the guy keeps walking. And he looks at him again like, how dare this guy walk behind my... Sorry, Luis came up with the watch. So the watch, Hublot watch, these generally range in the mid five figures a pop.
He's wearing a $5,000 watch to the gym, by the way.
And Donald said here that the average Les Paul guitar, according to Google, is anywhere between $2,500 and $2,800. So high-end is $2,800. So Frank's signature guitar is just shy of a high-end Les Paul.
That's what I mean. Like, would you want a Frank Stallone guitar
exactly. or a Les so you, Paul guitar? That's right. You have infinite amount of money, Dom. You're going to audition to be in a rock band. Are you carrying a Les Paul in your hand or a Frank Stallone signature guitar?
You know what I'm going with, the Frank Stallone Tiger.
You better be able to wail on that thing. You better be able to wail.
Barbells. You can't. If they took all the machines out of this gym.
I don't understand this analogy. Can you explain it to me?
Standing up. But you can't ever underestimate dumbbells and barbells. You can't. If they took all the machines out of this gym, probably a quarter of the people would come in because they don't know how to work with dumbbells and barbells. But that.
Okay, I'm trying to understand the actual English he used here. He says, if you took all the machines out of the gym, a quarter of the people wouldn't come in.
He's saying, from my understanding here, that if you took all like those machines that would simulate like a curl,
right? And he's
all
saying that stuff, the
people wouldn't know how to use
one.
The dumbbells or the curl bars. They wouldn't, which I don't know about that. I mean, I think that's kind of common.
Yeah,
knowledge.
I'm not even a gym guy, and I know how to do an arm curl. With
right. I would honestly argue that some of those machines are a little bit more confusing if you've
Agreed.
Never been on one of them, right?
Agreed. Mm-hmm. And it's the old adage that everything was better back in the day. Nothing's good now. Everything that's improvements on weights and systems and pulleys, everything, it's always the old school way is the only way.
Yeah, he's going to the gym and working out like Sly from Rocky IV. He's picking that's up right. wheelbarrows and shit and rocks.
But he's just saying these kids nowadays, like the guy that walked behind him, he wouldn't know how to use free weights.
That was a shot at the guy that walked into his frame, I think.
Is the root of all bodybuilding. The great bodybuilders, Larry Scott, Frank Zane, Steve Reeves, all those guys.
Your brother?
Yeah. He didn't mention his brother or Arnold Schwarzenegger. He mentioned everybody from the 1950s.
Or barbells, dumbbells. That's all they had. And you can get a great body. Do chin-ups, pull-ups. Push-ups.
What do you think Sly thinks of these videos? If he even watches them, what do you think he thinks?
He doesn't
about
watch
Frank?
Them. He doesn't watch them. He can't. He's embarrassed by Frank. There's no way. There's no way he looks at Frank and goes, why am I the popular brother?
There was a line in the documentary. I don't know if he got up to that part. Frank said it. He said, like, when Sly got famous.
Oh, yeah. I became Rocky's brother.
Right. Something of that nature.
Yes, Frank. That's exactly what happened. The only reason why you're marring our podcast here about Rambo is because your brother did Rocky, which ironically, we wouldn't have a Rambo podcast. See how that works?
Right,
see how
right.
this works? If Stallone wasn't Stallone, there wouldn't be this podcast and you wouldn't be featured on it.
Would you think there would be Frank Stallone guitars, though?
Had Sly died in childbirth, there would not be a Frank Stallone signature guitar, for better or for worse. By the way, there's three available in each color. Yeah.
Dumbbells, barbells. Anyway, have a great day. Don't take any wooden nickels.
What is wooden nickels? Is that like a slang for bullshit or something like that?
I think so. This is what I mean. We have mentioned in our last few segments that he doesn't plug Alex. Now we're getting two plugs in the same week.
I have a theory.
Okay.
That maybe Alex sees these. What if Alex sees these?
And then he tells Frank, can you plug me a little bit?
Or somebody that knows Alex has seen these maybe. And then maybe
somebody must have.
Alex.
I don't know.
There's got to be some kind of connection.
We're 13 episodes deep in the Frank Stallone world. And we've never seen Alex. We don't know who he is. We only know him by name. And I even made a joke like Alex is probably some out of shape guy or whatever, which he's not. He's not. He's legit incredible shape. Like
we take it back, Alex. We take it back, Alex.
Well, it's Thursday. Again, we train Monday, Tuesday, take off Thursday, Friday, sometimes Friday.
I love that I know his schedule now. We know that he takes Wednesdays off and he has shooting on Sundays.
If I lived in California, I would be outside that gym watching him. I'd be joining the gym and going the same days.
But I find that you don't have to work out as much as you think. You know, you're
Oh, you don't have to work out as much as you think.
You know.
Okay, what I love here, he's going to go into inspiration to work out to fat shaming.
Like that. Like that.
Your body needs a lot of rest. And Alex and I are doing really good. We don't kill ourselves. What for? You don't want to be like, so next day you walk, you can't even walk. Well, we get our little aches and pains in here. But the thing is consistency. If you can't donate 4 hours a week for exercise, then something's wrong with you.
Oh, boy. What did he say the last video or two videos ago? Be nice.
Be nice. Yeah, that's out the window. That's out the window. Right?
There's a difference between, you know, being there for someone who wants to work out, you know, giving them instruction, encouragement. This is not encouragement. This is shaming. This is what shaming actually is.
He loves fat shaming.
4 hours a week. I love people. I don't have time. I said, you have time to eat and stuff your face.
Oh, you don't have time. You have time to eat and stuff your face.
Wow. It's not just 4 hours. Like, I get what he's saying. Like,
it's not as easy as it is for you, Frank. That's what it comes down to.
People have families, kids, wives,
people have to spouses, work.
Jobs.
Work and is a big thing.
Work is huge. Like, when you work 5 days a week, and let's say the average person's gone, you know, 9 to 3 or 8 to 3 or 8 to 4 or 9 to 5, and then the traveling between jobs, and then showering and changing, right, eating food, prepping with the kids' lunches the next day, even just to take, oh honey, I'm gonna go to the gym for an hour. It's like, where? At 7 at night, 8 at night, 10 o'clock when you're falling asleep because you gotta get up in the morning. He has nowhere to be.
Right. Exactly. That's why he's able to go to the gym and we go and we take days off. Right.
He's not in the studio recording new music. He's not on the film set doing the film. He has money. Like, he's got enough to be comfortable. He's probably decent with his money. So it's very easy for him to say, we're not stuffing our face. Jeez, man. Like, we're
you got time
eating.
To eat a meal because you're hungry, but you know,
yeah,
you got time to go to the gym.
So you have time to train 4 hours.
That's not how it works. Again, that's not how time works. Because you have time for something else doesn't mean you have time for something else.
Right.
If you go in there or 3 hours, if you go in 3 days a week and train for an hour.
Again, he's saying that you're there for an hour, like you somehow teleport there. Right? That you just teleport with your gym gear on. No traffic. You're inside the gym, and there you go. How have you this kind of working out? I'm not talking about eating healthy, going for walks. I go, you know, I go for walks or runs almost every, well, actually every day because I have a dog who does that with me, and so I do go outside. But that to me is that's all I need: fresh air, go for a walk, go for a light run. I take my kids with me sometimes, and we go to the park. And I'm not bench pressing. There's no need for me. I don't need to bench press or do lat curls or whatever above my heads or. Again, I'm nearing half a century and I've never had to pull myself off a cliff yet. And if that day comes, then I guess I'll die.
Right. Just die.
I'll just die. Oh, I sure wish I went to the gym more. I guess I'm dead now.
Sure wish I didn't stop to stuff my fat face.
It's ample, but you just can't train and go to, what's that place called? Panda? What's it called?
Panda Express.
Panda Express is...
Wow, he just shoots down Panda Express.
Yeah, what is his beef with Panda Express?
So when people do go eat out because they're either busy or they don't have a budget like you have, so yeah, they eat some cheap Chinese food, which isn't, Panda Express isn't bad. It's actually not that cheap, really, comparatively speaking. In fact, fast food's not as cheap as it used to be. It's not healthy. Don't get me wrong. It's not healthy.
Definitely not.
So now he's going to go for the classic kill shot here of another fast food restaurant.
Stuff your face with greasy food or go to McDonald's and buy a hamburger for $15 with...
What hamburgers are priced for $15 at McDonald's? Are we there yet?
Yeah, I don't know. Is he saying that like $15 is cheap or is he saying...
No, he's saying you're basically spending a lot on a burger to just to get fat. So you're wasting money and you're eating fatty. But everyone knows that. Don't smoke.
Everybody knows.
Smoking's not good for you. We get it. Who's listening to this and goes, you know what? I'm changing. That's it. Frank, you're right. You're absolutely
right. I have to be a fat shame by Frank Stallone. I'm changing.
Like 1,500 calories. You just got to take care of yourself. But most people I see are really putting good effort forward. You know, you start when you're younger, which will hold you in good standing when you get older.
I think he realized that he was crapping a little hard because he wanted to be in there. Oh, but most people I see around me, they're doing good. They're doing good.
Alex is giving one of these.
That's right. Alex is like, oof, easy, easy. Okay.
Peace,
love, he says. Hi. Okay, so are you excited? Here he is, folks.
I'm very excited for this reveal here.
If you're watching this on YouTube or any of our videos that we have right now. We have now see Alex in front of us right now. We have to do a little bit of Alex. I know we're, well, I don't care. We're running long, but podcasts can be long. There's no rules to lengths of podcasts, is there, Dom? You doing okay for time?
I'm good.
This is him. This is Alex. This is the man behind the camera. Unlike Frank, he's letting his hair, you know, decrease. He's not put any plugs in yet. He seems like a decent guy, but I don't know if he's all that bright. He's about to tell us two fads. Apparently, these are two mythical fads that we need to stop talking about, Dom. And I'm going to tell you, I have never thought this. I don't know anyone that has, but here we go.
Today, I'm going to talk to you about two fads or two misconceptions.
Two misconceptions. Okay, here we go. Two misconceptions. So he's saying, I'm here to set the record straight. These are two fads and or misconceptions that people walk around with, and we need to stop this misinformation. You ready?
First of all, there's nothing called toned.
There's nothing called toned.
There's nothing called toned?
There's nothing called toned. But he will, he's going to contradict himself because he says there's nothing called toned, but he's going to tell you how to be toned. Okay.
Get toned. You cannot tone fat. You build muscles, you work out. This is how you get in a better shape. And then the fat goes down, you look more toned.
So he just says, there's no thing called toned, but when you work out, the fat goes away and then you look more toned. No, he said the misconception is that you can tone fat. I don't think there's one person in the world who's ever thought that they could turn their fat into definition. Is there? I think everyone realizes I'm just fat.
Like if I draw a six pack on my stomach, I mean, I could change it.
He just said that was a misconception and that was a fad. Have you ever known of anyone ever saying the words, I have fat, but I'm going to turn this fat right. into tone?
Right. You're assuming you're going to lose the fat and then become toned. Like your body is going to become toned.
He did say turn the fat into tone.
I have to say, sounds a little bit like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, I don't know where he's from.
I don't know where he's from either.
Second, you cannot turn fat into muscles.
Again, no one I've ever met in my life has ever said you can turn fat into muscle. Quite the opposite. I've often heard people say when you work out, you go to the gym, and then you stop, some of these big gym rats can turn to some tubby guys. Have you seen that turn around?
Right.
The muscle turns to fat.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
That's right. Call me crazy, but I've never heard anyone say fat turns into muscle. Never heard it. He's educating us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does not exist. The fat goes down, the muscles goes up as you work out and eat high protein and healthy. I hope this helps. Stay tuned for more.
It's not that it doesn't help, but those were never misconceptions. It's like saying fire's cold.
Getting the basics out of the way.
I guess he's
inspired by Frank Stallone's videos.
Now, I hate to say this, but it gives you an idea how this guy can be around Frank. You get what I'm saying? Somebody like you and I, you would get sick of it. You couldn't be around it all day. I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear this stuff.
You gotta quit
all day.
At some point.
All right. Anyways, I think that's it. I'm sorry, guys.
That's it.
That concludes another episode of Frank Stallone, Who Is This Guy?
I don't know. Maybe people don't watch the show anymore or listen anymore. I don't know. But some people like the Frank stuff. I don't know. Maybe this is the last episode.
I'll never believe it.
I have to say, in the case it ever is, that way I can say this was the last one.
You could always say this was the final episode.
This was the final episode of Frank's. He's kind of fading a little bit. I wonder. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we'll see. Rambo 5, Last Blood. Where we last left off, Rambo got the crap beaten out of him, and that lady reporter was watching it happen. Let's see where we go here. So she gets out of her car to. So she was right there, right next to the whole ordeal, eh?
She watched him.
Why did I feel like, oh, he did get beat up on the roof, but did they carry his body down to the ground for himself?
Did that happen? I thought that was the area that he got beat up in. I could be wrong, but.
Yeah, you know what? I think I am wrong, but I have in my brain that they were up high on a roof, but now he's on the ground level next to the vehicle. So, but we don't see him get carried, do we, down or?
No, they might have carried him, though. It's possible.
So she comes up to see poor John Rambo cut to pieces.
Get up.
You know how heavy he is right now?
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Okay, you have to get up. They will come back.
So she's saying, you have to get up. They're going to come back. Well, no, they want him to live. I guess she was there for that part of the conversation.
That's like, oh, man, that's me after being hung over like for a night. That's
great makeup work here.
Yes.
Sly's face is just mangled, cut, bloodied, puffy. Yeah, it's bad. And he's in the back of the car. Rambo's still saying, let it go. He's still like saying it to the bad guys. He's so out of it.
No, I gotta say, they said they left him there to be alive. Like, if this lady wasn't there, I think he would have died right on the floor over there. I don't think he was living through this. If she didn't rescue him.
Yeah. Good point. He was bleeding out. Maybe they called 911 for him.
Highly doubt it.
All right. So, the next scene is we're back with the bad guys again. So, Cokehead guy's coming in hot. It looks like he's upset about something.
¿Por qué me tiras a pendejo?
Because why do you treat me like an idiot? He's saying to the boss man.
Nadie te está tirando a pendejo.
Boss man says, no one's saying that.
Pues como que no?
Of course you are.
Yo quería quebrarme al ruco y tú pura...
I wanted to kill that MF-er.
La plática, plática con él para verte como chingón.
¿Qué chingón?
What the F do you want?
¿Qué os quieres?
Says the boss man.
Pues déjame a la morra.
Oh, give me the girl. Oh, he's asking for the girl. Ah.
Esto es un business.
Business.
So he says this is a business. So look, we kind of hinted at that. It's not a very well-run business, but he's saying yeah. So he's saying, if I give you the girl, you're going to wreck my product a little bit, because he knows what he wants to do to Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cokehead guy says, I know this is a business, MF-er. But I need this one. Why does he need it? So he pulls a syringe off the table.
Oh, boy.
I love that they just have heroin syringes on the table, like as part of the snack table. You know, you've got grab a needle
next to the pretzels.
So some goon pulls Gabrielle out of her cell and she drags her somewhere. Now we're back to the horror hallway. The horror hallway. All the girls are standing outside the doorways in the hall. But Gabby was in her room. That's kind of weird.
Right.
But look at, they're all terrified looking, scared, beaten up.
Beaten, drugged out.
And Cokehead guy's at the end of the hallway and Gabby's been taken to him. Look at them all. Like Night of the Living Dead. So why is she being brought up to him like this way? Why is this being done this way?
That's what's strange about it. Maybe making the other girls watch, see what happens to you. I don't know. I stumped here.
She already looks like she's kind of sick or under some sort of influence as it is. You know, she's being... like arm behind her back and like the arm behind her neck type of carry by the goon and he's taking her towards Cokehead guy in the hallway and he's walking towards her as well. Cokehead guy is showing Gabby Rambo's driver's license, but we still can't see the face of the driver's license.
The black man that's on the driver's license.
It's OJ Simpson, man. So I don't know Spanish, but he's probably asking, who is this? Oh, there it is. This is the face.
Oh man, I want to print that out and keep that in my wallet. Honestly,
why does he have the pigment disorder on his face? You see that?
Yeah, he looks happy, kind of happy in that picture too.
But look at the photo. It looks like he's South American on his cheeks and his eyes and his hair. And I love how the hair is black here. So okay, think of the timeline here. Okay, so Rambo 4 goes back home. Mm-hmm. He has long black hair. Right? We speculated that Rambo must have dyed his hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way that his hair right now in Rambo 5 is completely gray, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, in this driver's license photo, black. Rambo has decided to cut his hair since coming home, but he's still dyeing it black.
I wish he had the long hair in this picture. That rat he had on his head at the end of Rambo 4 when he's walking in the house, I wish he had that. Missed opportunity.
And look at the age that he is. December 4th, 1950. Oh. So this came out.
I'm December 2nd. He's a Sagittarius, Rambo.
Oh, there you go. And now this movie came out 2019. So let's say 20. So he's 69 years old in this film, according to this. Did I get the math right? Yeah.
And then Stallone is how old in real life?
He would have been 70 something during this film.
Okay.
This is the way.
Who is this guy?
¿Dónde encontraste eso?
She goes, where'd you get that?
No.
¿Quién es?
So he shows the needle. She starts panicking. Has she already gotten drugs now? Is that why she's panicking?
I would think at this point, right? They had drugged her.
She's panicking and saying, no. And he asks again, who is he? And he says, it doesn't matter now. And he just jabs her, gives her, was that a COVID shot or?
It might have been the first COVID vaccine out there.
You know, that would actually be a funny meme to make for this video.
Getting forced to get the vaccine, right?
We should call it Booster 6.
No.
I'm going to do it. Booster 6. Oh, no.
And you got to put like somebody's face on that guy's face.
Fauci's face.
Fauci's face.
So he goes on to say he's lying on the street. With my mark on his face. Now, what? If someone said that to you, what would you think that was? Like, did you punch him?
The mark
of
Zorro.
Yeah, but would you just automatically assume it was a cut? Like, it's just an odd way of saying that my mark is on his face. Okay, what? Did you tattoo him?
Right.
So she's already feeling the effect. I've never done heroin, have you?
No, thank God.
Does it act that quickly when you get the shot in the arm? Like her eyes are already rolling.
I would assume, right? Because it goes right into your bloodstream.
Well, she's feeling the effects. She's rolling her eyes back. And he's happy about that. He realizes he's just Bill Cosby to her. So he's very excited.
That's that little Spanish fly.
So he's loving this. Like, yeah, she's not going to fight me now. I don't know what he's saying in Spanish here. They don't do the subtitles or the English.
No.
Well, over here, it's like demonic, echoey Spanish talk. Oh, yeah. He was supposed to mark her as well. That's right. So that's what he's doing here. Yeah. But they spare us. They spare us the violence. We don't get to see it.
Yeah. We got enough with Rambo getting the mark, honestly.
So now Rambo is at some sort of doctor, I guess, or a doctor home visit, I guess?
Yeah, some underground doctor. Is he home visit? Is he a vet? I don't even know.
Really? I'm surprised they could find underground activity in Mexico. That's weird.
Si se queda tranquilo.
So the doctor says, if he stays still, these should hold. That gets the stitches he's put in his cheek.
Esto debe aguantar. Una contusión cerebral.
He has a serious concussion and should be in the hospital.
Importante si sabes que está en el hospital, ¿verdad?
Ya sé.
She goes, I know. Fine, he says. So Rambo's lying on her couch and he's got a blanket. But I love how the blanket covers his chest because he's shirtless in the scene, but the blanket covers his chest. Where, as we know, Sly right now, the actor, is covered in tattoos.
Tattoos, right.
They would have had a makeup cover his tattoos on his arms, but to save the whole, like, ugh. Let's just cover your tattoos with a blanket.
I heard that takes a long time, too, when they make up somebody's tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's gotten better with the CGI, if they could do it quicker, but...
Good call. I don't think they did CGI on his tattoos here.
Mira, debido a la contusión.
Because of the concussion, he'll have sensitivity to noise and to light. Is this Rocky or Rambo we're watching?
He's going to go roll into Apollo's room now.
Yo, cocaine drug guy, did you give me your best?
Yeah, sure, kid.
That's good, Apollo. I just want to go home.
I just want to go home, Mick. To be naked in the shower.
I was just going to say the next
obligatory
scene.
Obligatory Sylvester Stallone ass.
Naked in the shower is the next scene. Oh, I love it.
No, la luz debería estar mejor en un par de días.
He should be better in a couple of days, he says.
Because the drug guy in the background in the picture, the cocaine guy is on her wall.
Yeah, so we're starting to see, she's following the activity here of the drug cartel or the girl cartel. So the doctor says, Carmen, you know I care about you. But this is crazy. She says, don't worry. You know that doctor wants to bang her so bad.
That's why he's there patching up Rambo.
There's no way that if he wasn't attracted to her, that he'd be there just because he's a nice guy. There's always the hope that she'll do something for him. Look at Sly lying in the couch there.
Some of the best acting I've ever seen. Sly just oozing away on the couch.
Just bleeding away on her couch. Cutting back to the cartel people. Cocaine guy is doing more coke.
Doing coke. He's got to do his coke.
Just can't get enough coke. I love it. And there's, is that Gabby?
I think so, yeah.
Now, look, it's horrible that she's drugged out and been assaulted, but she's got a nice...
I was just going to skip over that.
Remember, it's just acting. Like, it's just acting, okay? We still enjoy what we see, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just acting.
It's just amazing that they went through this whole process, kidnapping this girl, and, you know, what happens to her, and it's all, but isn't that just a waste?
That's what the boss was saying. Like, this is a business, but he's like, I don't care. This is my pound of flesh. You know, you wouldn't let me throw Rambo to the vat of acid. I'm going to, what do you think he did to her, Dom?
I think it might have been something that happened when he raped her and he was thinking about maybe cutting her fucking head off. But he didn't do
exactly
that.
He didn't do that, though. He did. At least we were spared the actual scene of it happening.
Thank God. Thank God.
We just see her pulling down her skirt.
Dark. Who would have saw that?
Louise agrees with us. Yep, she'd get it. Keep in mind, it's a movie. She's not really assaulted. She's fine. She's fine. We're just saying she's attractive. She's in a horrible situation. But
exactly. The cocaine guy in real life is probably a really nice guy.
He's probably the nicest guy. Oh, of course.
He probably is.
Oh, we're cutting back to the scene at the farm. Marianne is, you know, wondering where everyone is. No one's come back yet. Now we're cutting back to the news reporter lady, checking out Rambo's recovery. Still lying in bed. Again, I love how the blanket's covering all the tattoo work that you don't have to. Now we're cutting. It's like a depressing montage.
Yeah. It's the opposite of like the Drago montage when he's getting the steroids. This time it's just heroin.
So it's the recovery montage. We've got Rambo recovering from his beatdown, but we've got Gabby getting worse and worse, like raped 50 times.
How many times?
And now we're cutting back again to Marianne sitting on the rocking chair just waiting. Please, somebody come home.
This is definitely one of the most depressing montages in any Sylvester Stallone film.
We should put like
Hearts on Fire to it.
Oh, yeah, Hearts on Fire in the background for this. Hearts on Fire. You know, showing the jabs, the needle. And
him dying on the couch.
But Louise is right. This chick has one of the worst fates of modern fictional woman characters have. Yeah, she's, which we'll get to later. But right now, there's still hope she'll be saved. Right now, there's still some hope.
Oh, man.
She's getting,
I forgot how much they show of this. Like, I forgot how many times they show her getting doped up.
She's getting doped so much, her arms are just bleeding. Like, they don't even try to be delicate anymore. You know what, though? In some terrible way, that's her saving grace. The fact she's so high.
Yeah, exactly.
You could amputate her legs to how much drugs she has in her.
She don't even know what she's...
So, Ramble's recovering. She's, you know, helping them get back to health, and she's being continuously drugged and assaulted. Now we cut to the reporter lady coming back with some groceries, and Rambo's awake and conscious. He's sitting on a chair.
How much time do you think passed?
I would say at least, the doctor says it's going to take a couple days. Let's just say 3 to 4 days, probably, because he's actually kind of dressed now.
Did you see my tattoos that were covered?
Because he's wearing his jacket, his clothes.
Make sure you cover that. It used to be my wife, but then I turned it into a dog. Yeah, I got a dog on my arm now.
What I don't understand is he's been unconscious this whole time. Does he even know who's been taking care of him? He must have walked around the house probably.
right. Walked around.
Like, where am I? I don't understand. Oh, it looks like it's just a single woman. Okay.
I can't remember, and I can't tell from here. Is he healed? Is his face like healed, though?
Be a little bit of that movie magic where it won't be as puffy, but let's do
right,
it.
Right.
You're up.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Wow, he's really healed.
Got to be at least 2 weeks or something like that.
Well, he says, "Who are you?" So he went from puffy eyes, can't open, is not moving, to like fully dressed, and
do I look like Rocky Raccoon? You know.
Yeah, he looks normal-ish. He should have had some sort of like blood work under his eyes.
Yeah, she looks French.
Carmen Delgado. What is your name?
John Rambo.
Your truck is in the garage, by the way.
How did I get here?
How did I get here? Does it matter? A cab, bus, train? I drag you. A vehicle, John. What do you mean? Like, you were unconscious.
Was it a ferry boat? Did a ferry boat bring me in?
How did I get? Well, why does that matter? How did I get here? Where is here? That might be a better question. Like, where am I?
Right, right. It would have been interesting. He woke up with slight amnesia and didn't know where he was, if he was in a war.
Yeah, it's true.
Burma.
I brought you here.
You don't even know me.
Why do I have to know you? You were in trouble. I don't know. I would do it for anyone.
Why were you even there?
Why were you there?
Now she explains who she is. I'm an independent journalist. Oh, okay, here we go.
I'm an independent journalist. I was following Flacco, a pimp who drugs and sells girls. I saw you in the club, watching him. I saw what you did to him.
How long have I been here?
Oh, so that guy that he broke the collarbone, his name was El Flacco.
Broke, ripped out of his neck,
stabbed his leg,
chest. Ugh.
Oh, remember, she said his truck. So she went back and got his truck. But the guy was knocked out in his truck. Did he wake up and slumber? Yeah,
what happened to that guy? Like, he just left and went on with his life, I guess.
I guess so. Now, we're about to find out. How long have I been here? Oh, we're going to find out.
Oh, here we go.
I called it four days.
Wow.
So he's been there 4 days and his eyes are completely healed from the
healed, like wide open. He's good.
But he's like, oh, geez, that's too long. I got to go get Gabby.
You got to tell me where are the men that took her.
You know how many times they could rape her in 4 days?
Simple mathematics. You could figure it out. If they do it 12 times a day,
it's almost 50 times.
Who did they take? Your daughter?
Yeah. Where is she?
Why do you say yeah? Just to, whatever, doesn't matter. Why explain everything? Point.
He's like, I'm not explaining this to you.
It's actually quite confusing. In fact, most of the audience members were confused of who she was to be throughout the movie.
Weren't you kind of confused? Home. I was confused.
I'm still confused.
I came home and my father was shacking up with this lady and she had a kid, but it wasn't her kid.
A surrogate stepsister?
Yeah, right. I don't know. Maria's not her mother, though, right?
That's right. Maria. I keep calling her Marianne. Maria, she is. That's right. She's the grandmother.
Mm.
That's right.
Right.
She's the grandmother. Oh.
Who are they?
Look at the photos they got.
You could tell that was done.
Movies have a horrible time with this. So the two photos they got of these two, the cokehead guy and the boss leader guy. They literally look like the cast photos. Like, hey, guys, we're filming this movie right now. We need to get a couple of shots of you for the wall for the reporter. And they just stand there. But where are these shots taken? They're not mug shots.
No. Like, all they had to do was just show some passage of time. It's like, all right, maybe get them without facial hair or something like that.
Or just like a in the street shot. Like, they're
right.
Like the cafe or something. Just like, but they're literally like they're both in the same room. All right, next. Next, let's get these photos taken for the film.
The Martinez brothers.
Oh, they're brothers.
I didn't even realize they were brothers. I thought they were cousins, honestly.
They're brothers. So that's why they tolerate him a little bit as much as he does.
Yeah,
that's why they can speak that way to each other.
Makes sense.
Yeah. The plot thickens, man. The family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now she's saying they took my sister. So this is how she's involved.
They found her dead from an overdose 2 years ago.
Well, you got to admit, they always pick the pretty ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they're showing a picture here of her sister. So she died from an overdose. They got to really be careful with that heroin. You know, like, stop.
I know. They're not doing a good job. Like, you want to try to keep them alive. Therefore, they could get up to 50 because they're not making it to 50 if you keep chunking them up.
Sorry. You just got to tell me where you think they are.
Ramble, remember that place you scoped out?
He was there.
You were just there. Granted, it was that guy that told him where to go, so maybe he forgets how to get there, but he was there.
Right, that's true.
I didn't write it down. I should have wrote it down where it was.
I don't have a good memory.
Then she goes, no, it doesn't work this way.
No, it doesn't work this way. There's too many of them. Are you crazy? What?
I'm not thinking about that. All I could think about is how scared she must be, what she's going through. What your sister went through.
Do you know what your sister went through?
Tell me the pain in detail. She was raped 50 times and they probably threatened to cut her fucking head off. And I don't know how she died, so maybe she did get her fucking head cut off.
Why is he whispering?
It's reminding me of another of Rocky or something where he's whispering.
Where did he do this?
Place it.
Yeah. Oh, it actually, no, it reminds me of the end of Rambo Part 2 when he goes, I want what they want. What every soldier wants is to rape them.
By the way, I was out to dinner last night and I had reservations with my brother. And when we were waiting, the hostess popped themselves out and was like, John Jay. And I just shot a look to my brother.
No way.
I was like, and I said, Rambo. <He's here."
laughs> Somebody called out John Jay.
There was a reservation under John Jay.
That's amazing. Oh, man. John Jay? He's holding dog tags in his hand.
I thought I was going to pan across the room and just see him sitting there like, Rambo, don't call me John.
Just help me, please. I can't go without you.
This is weird. I can't do without you. He got there without her to begin with. He's just...
He's done a lot in his life without this lady. I think he's good.
It's weird how they literally been talking for 90 seconds and there's already this kind of connection. And
like, yeah, it's a little forced.
If you take me, I'll give you a necklace that you can wear around your neck.
It usually works with the girls.
Girls love it.
You don't have a husband, do you? You're not religious, right?
She agrees. She agrees to take him. All right. Well, we're going to stop it there. All right. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed our Rambo coverage today.
It was a pretty meaty episode today.
It was a meaty. We had emails. We had Alex the trainer. We had, of course, Frank telling us about boxing tips. Don't eat junk food. Oh, he sang for us, Marvin Gaye.
That's right. Lyrics. Added his own lyrics.
Really wanted to have a We Are the World type moment with that song.
He's looking to change the world with that one. Yeah, he's going to do a bunch of celebrities singing with him. He's going to do it.
That might have been the last episode of Frank, Who Is This Guy? Mm. So just if people still want to watch and listen to our show next week or next episode, we will continue the coverage of Rambo Last Blood to see where Rambo and Carmen go after this scene. Well, mystery. Other than that, Dom, this is it. The episode's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off. It wasn't my podcast. You asked me to co-host. I didn't ask you.